This morning's reading is taken from the first book of Corinthians, read at chapter 3, verse 10 to 23. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. One should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives within you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. For if anyone thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in it. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human men. Things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life or death, or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It was written to the Corinthians. Corinth was a commercially rich and cosmopolitan Greece with residents from every part of the Roman Empire and beyond. It was the London or the New York or the Hong Kong of the day. The city and its people, the Corinthians, were characterized by two things. Firstly, pride in its Greek philosophy, in its human learning, in its intellectual learning. And secondly, excessive emphasis on personal autonomy and freedom, leading to, among other things, sexual immorality. Corinthians were characterized by the three S, the three selves: self-admiration. Look at what we can do by ourselves. Who needs God? Self-will. I'm my own king and God. I will bow to no one. And self-indulgence. I do what I fancy. No one can tell me what to do. Away with any moral standards. I will decide on my own standards. Now, although Paul wrote this letter about 2,000 years ago, his description of Corinth and Corinth don't look very much different from our day, does it? Now, when some of them became Christians, they continued to embrace the culture and values of the world outside and brought it to church, and compromise led them to become stifled in their spiritual growth. And therefore, Paul called them spiritual infants. They were carnal, they were worldly, they were immature. And to help them understand what is happening to them and to their church and in their lives, he used the idea of a building or a temple. Now, Paul calls Christians God's building, verse 9, and God's temple, verse 16. He went on to explain to them the sort of the two major parts of a building. Like this building, you have the foundation, and then you have everything that goes above that foundation. Firstly, let's consider the foundation, he said. This is what lies below the ground. And it's invisible. This is where the strength of a building lies. The main purpose of a foundation, to hold everything that is above the ground and to ensure that it remains upright. Without a firm foundation, a building will simply sink and collapse. They built a new accommodation for Kiel University students just a few miles from us recently. And for months and months and months and months, I think it must be at least 9 months or so, they had this barrier and you couldn't see what is happening. But you could see nothing above the... Nothing seems to be happening. And this is because they were focusing on building a very strong foundation, because it is fundamental to the strength of the building. It is fundamental to the safety of the occupants, people who live and work in it. And as they say, what you get is what you don't see. Secondly, there's everything that goes above the ground. That which you can see, this includes the supporting structures like the floors, the roofs, the lintels, the concrete columns, the walls and the stairs. All these things need to be in place before you can put in the windows, plaster the walls, decorate the rooms, put in the furniture, the beds, the fitments, the television, and live in it. So the material used to building above the foundation must be of the quality and strength needed for the purpose of the building. Now, no doubt you have seen pictures recently of the collapsed buildings in the earthquakes in Haiti, in Turkey, in Iraq. Nevertheless, other buildings have simply collapsed without any natural disaster like earthquakes or man-made disaster, a bomb or gas explosion or towering inferno. For example, on Thursday, the 24th of June this year, approximately 1:25 a.m. local time, a catastrophe took place. Chaplin Towers South, a 12-story beachfront condominium in prosperous Miami, Florida, USA, partially collapsed, and they had to destroy the whole building later on. It took only 12 seconds for it to collapse. 98 people died. And among other reasons, preliminary investigation indicated that the foundation and the supporting structures had been weakened by water penetration from the sea pool on the ground floor, the use of substandard material and design faults, that is human errors. How very apt for Paul to use the analogy of a well or poorly built building to question the Corinthian church and us today on how we build our lives. What do we build our lives on? Firstly, he compares the church with the society outside of the church. Let us look at what Paul says to the Corinthian church and its Corinthians and see how we can apply it. Firstly, the foundation of the church. The foundation of the church, we are not talking about church building. We are talking about people, Christian. That's the church. The foundation of the church and the foundation of the lives of Christians is the person and work of Jesus Christ. This news, Christ has died on the cross for us, for our sins. And by his resurrection from the dead, he has removed sin from us and reconciled us to God. We have finally found the purpose and meaning of our lives. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here Paul says in verse 11, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. That is the message he always proclaimed. This is what Jesus himself taught in Matthew 7. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And what comes afterwards? The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. And the rock is, of course, Jesus himself. The focus of the church and of Christian must always be Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Secondly, he asks us to look at what is above the foundation. Verse 12 to 15. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day, that is the day of judgment, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. Fire will test the quality of the person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder receives a reward. So he is contrasting two different ways of building a church, albeit on the same foundation of Jesus Christ. One way is to use gold, costly stones. Now, Paul does not exactly specify what he means by this. But from his writings and the manner of his life and his ministry and his teaching, we know what he means. Simply this: we must build our church as God's people. We must build our spiritual lives as Christians with God's word, godly character, lives directed by the Holy Spirit, which God has implanted in us, and in the love of Christ. This must be our foundation. We order our lives according to biblical teaching. And this is not just an individual responsibility, it is a collective responsibility. We need to help each other to grow, build on that foundation, and build on the firm structure. How you build your Christian lives is not actually difficult to know. You don't have to think very hard. All you need to look at is how you spend your time, your money, your energy. This shows where the focus of your life is. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do we spend time on what we call the spiritual disciplines? These are the tools that help us to grow, like scripture reading, meditation and application, prayer, worship, evangelism, serving one another and the community, stewardship of our time, and meeting with one another. Those who do these things are wise builders. Verse 14, you have heard of Christians who say that I don't need to go to church to become a Christian. Well, it is true, you don't need to go to church to become a Christian. You can believe in Jesus Christ. But I have met one Christian who has continued to grow in the faith, who has stopped coming to church. Our Christians' lives, if built well, will stand the test of time. And God will reward judgment day. Well done, good and faithful slave, he will say to us. Now, Paul also mentions the building built with wood, hay, or straw. He again does not specify what they mean. What are these materials that will not stand the test of time? Well, we know what he means. Because time and again, the Apostle Paul, all the other apostles, and Jesus himself, and Christian teachers throughout the century, warned against any teaching or preaching or doctrine which is not scripture. They warned church leaders against teaching of faith, that which tells you what you want to hear, rather than what we need to hear. There are those who live in a worldly way, embracing a lifestyle not very different from their non-Christian life, that when they compare the two lives, you don't see a difference in their thinking, in the way they spend their time, in the way they spend their money, in the way they spend their energy. You go into a Christian home, you go into a non-Christian home, they earn the same salary, you have exactly the same things. You see in exactly the same way. There are those who live in a way which emphasizes personal freedom without responsibility or intellectual learning, but which reject God's teaching. This is a foolish builder, verse 15. And that was what many in the Corinthian church were doing, intellectually believing in Christ, yet continuing to live a life based on the culture outside, instead of the church and Christian changing the world and setting it alight. They have allowed the world and its corrupt the teachings of the church, and therefore they were two-minded and are therefore spiritually immature, carnal, and worldly. They want to enjoy the benefits of the world and doing exactly what they did before, and yet in the face of Christianity, it will not work. It has not worked for them. It has never worked. And as James Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China and the founder of the China Inland Mission, what is now called the Overseas Fellowship or OMF International, said, Christ is either Lord of all or he is not Lord at all. Paul then contrasts the church with the world with its very different worldview. And he first looks at the foundation of the world in the first two chapters here, and Paul reminded Corinthian Christians what they used to build their lives on. The foundation of the pagan Corinthian world is his human learning and wisdom. Now, there's a lot of worldly wisdom that ties in with Christian wisdom, and that's fine. But there's a lot of worldly that have teachings that are completely against scriptural teaching. And that was what they built their lives on. The self-pride that sets itself against God, self-admiration, self-will, and self-judgments. People throughout history are the same. We all believe in someone or something, even if you're not aware of that. We do not live in an intellectual acumen. There's no such thing. All human beings build their lives around some ideas, whether it is one ism, capitalism, socialism, humanism, materialism, environmentalism, or one of the many beliefs and religions, atheism, there's no God, agnosticism, there may be a God, but you can know nothing about him, or polytheism, grew up in Malaysia, there are many gods, take your pick, mix and match, like a supermarket store. Pantheism, God is everywhere and it's in everyone. Animism, that was how I worship. I used to bow down before idols and before stones. That God is in nature, in the stars and in the trees and in the seas and in Mother Nature. Even the free thinker, a person who thinks he is free and who rejects religious beliefs, is holding to that particular set of beliefs. That is what he believes. He doesn't believe in nothing. He just believes that he is free and that he rejects religious beliefs. We all believe in someone or something. It amuses me how people can deride the Christian beliefs as superstition, only to then to go and read their horoscopes and believe in luck and fate. That is superstition. As G.K. Chesterton, a famous Catholic theologian and journalist, put it, when men stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing. They believe in anything. When men stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing. They believe in anything. Anything goes. Paul puts it this way in verses 19-20. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness, and again the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. This is God's opinion, not my opinion, and a warning to those who reject him. And what is above their foundation? For lives according to what we believe. What you think is how you live. We act out what we believe. So we see completely divergent views between the Christian faith and the world on virtually every major issue you can think. Whether it's abortion, divorce, same-sex relationships, cohabitation, transgenderism, assisted suicide, euthanasia, religious freedom, parental rights, sex education, and so on and so forth. Completely divergent. What you believe leads to how you live. It annoys me when politicians are always saying that Christian beliefs should be taken outside the Christian sphere, and you have these people who say, oh, I'm actually a Christian, but I don't let my beliefs influence politics. But these people also believe in something, don't they? Whether it is atheism, or whether it's agnosticism, or whatever, and their beliefs affect the way they deal with policies. So MPs, if they're not Christian, these who are Christian are both biased. Let's just admit it and have a good debate, but not to say Christian is out. That's nonsense. Rubbish. So in conclusion, the Bible says there are two ways to live. Two different buildings built on two different foundations. And therefore there are two eternal futures, two different destinies. The foundations we choose to build our lives on have eternal consequences. We need to choose our foundations very carefully. Do we choose the way of the world with its fallible personalities and its inadequate wisdom and knowledge? What they build will not stand on the day when God judges the world. Or do we choose the way of Christ with his perfect holiness? Through him we have salvation and eternal life. We can look forward to meet fear because we, through the grace of God, we are children of God. There's no more fear of judgment or condemnation. We are forgiven of our sins. We are Christ. Praise God for this, how much he loves us. Finally, Christians have to be very careful how they build on the foundation of Christ. Do we live our lives according to biblical principles and in constant communion with Jesus and his Holy Spirit? Or do we mix and match and compromise with all sorts of different beliefs and doctrines? Because this also has eternal consequences.
Amen.